All right, we're going to review for the Minor Prophets. You've got quite a bit of ground to cover. Again, your test last time will give you some background. I'll ask you true or false. No, not all of them. I'll ask you some, like, I'll just give you an example. Was Moses a prophet? I'll ask you a question like that. Was Moses a prophet? Let's see. Again, I'll ask you that summary of the Minor Prophets. The whole purpose of this is so you can have a basis where you know when somebody says Hosea, you can think about unfaithfulness toward God. When I say something like, my brain is not working there, but I say Micah. Yeah, it was a really dark book, but it really ends on a high note. It's gloom before glory. Habakkuk, run, sinner, run, is all about God's judgment. Joel, the day of the Lord is at hand. You need to memorize that list, okay? Because that's what it taught you. You'll look at, I don't know what page you're on, about page 4 or 5. What to look for in the Minor Prophets? 3 things I said. You look for dual fulfillment of prophecies. Is that on page 4?
That's on page 5.
5. Dual fulfillment of prophecies, the absence of the church. And you'll see long-term objectives of God through history. God's not interested in just making things fixed right away. You need to remember what some of these names are. Like Hosea means Jehovah saves. Hosea is another word for Joshua, which is another word for Jesus. Hosea was told to marry what kind of a woman? A prostitute. See? You know these things. You know them. I might ask you that Gomer's 3 children, their names, Jezreel means scattering. Lo Ruhamah means no mercy. Lo Ammi means no guns. No. No people. Not my people. Trying to see if you stayed awake. All right. So, let's see, I'll ask you a little bit about the symbolism. In Hosea, you've got Hosea marrying Gomer, but who is Hosea and Gomer picturing?
God in Israel.
God in Israel, okay. let's see. Long time ago when we did. There are 2 nations referred to as attacking Israel and conquering Israel and taking away captives. 2 nations. Who were they?
Babylon and Assyria.
Babylon and Assyria, exactly. All right, we'll move on to Joel. Let's see. When you look at Joel, you're looking at somebody. Joel means Jehovah is God. And let's see. When we talk about the day of the Lord, what are we talking about? Another title, another word for it. Armageddon. Or the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's see. Describe the day of the Lord. He actually describes it later on. He says, where is the list here? Yes, you got darkness, gloominess, clouds, an army of immortal warriors. You have earthquakes, sun, moon, and stars are dark, and things like that. Just briefly be able to describe what happens at the day of the Lord. What is promised at the time of the day of the Lord? What is promised that would be poured out? The Spirit. Which is what a Pentecostal really looks to and sees this emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Is there anything wrong with an emphasis on the Holy Spirit? Not at all.
You're told to walk in the Spirit.
You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You're told to yield it to the Spirit.
You're supposed to
pray in the Spirit and pray with the understanding. So there's nothing wrong with that. There isn't out of balance, though. Let's see. All right, Amos. Amos, what type of occupation did Amos have? He was a shepherd. And his main message was not just to Israel, but was to the nations around Israel. He did preach to Israel and preach against Israel, but he was like writing a document that would be read by all these different countries that would slam them. Let's see. I'll ask you, why did God mention Orion? Why did God mention the stars of Orion? To show just how powerful God was. God says, you know, I'm up there making stars up in Orion, and among the seven stars, he says, he maketh the seven stars, and he maketh Orion. Look how powerful I am. I control the weather. Let's see. What was the God that they were struggling? They were actually worshiping when they shouldn't have been.
Moloch.
And Milcom. And Chuun. Was a star god. And Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 7 talks about you worship your star god. There's a lot here. It won't be as hard as you think. There'll be a couple of different things. There's just so much you know about it. Obadiah preaches and against what people group? The Edomites. Who were the Edomites?
Esau,
who are cousins of Judah. Okay. You've got... what was their main problem? What was the problem with Edom?
Israel,
that's right. God judged them because they were against Israel and they fought against Israel, but their main problem was pride. Their main problem was pride. And God again promises restoration to Israel and destruction to Edom. Obadiah. Oh, I just did Obadiah. I don't know why I'm in there twice. Then you got Jonah. I think my most favorite book. My prophets, you've got the book of Jonah. It's hard to love your enemies. Jonah's got a lot of good stuff. Jonah seems to be the only prophet that I know of who has miracles in his career. He seems to do a lot of miracles. When John the Baptist preached, were there any miracles in his life? There were none. This man did no miracle, the Bible says. Yet everything he said came true. So a prophet's job is not to perform a miracle, it's to preach. But Jonah got to see some miracles, and almost everything he did was a miracle, and he didn't even acknowledge it. He's the only minor prophet that is mentioned by Jesus. Jesus didn't mention Hosea or Habakkuk or Amos. He mentions Jonah by name. And Jesus actually says, I'm like Jonah, which is a tremendous elevation of Jonah. The Ninevites, you need to be able to describe who the Ninevites were. They were pagan, wicked. They were under God's judgment. Let's see. Look at page, what do we got? Page 36, where it says the Great Rebellion, the principles of God's will. Do you see that there? You ought to look at the principles of God's will. It's usually against your own will. It usually demands more of you than you think you can give. It will have supernatural results that could not have been accomplished by yourself. And God's will get done whether you go along with it or not. Did you know God's will is going to get done whether you go along with it or not? So, I'll ask you, where did Jonah flee to? Tarshish. Okay. The storm comes along. We have a great storm in the New Testament called Euroclydon. And evidently, it's very similar to to the storm that that Jonah experiences. Let's see. Again, just review there. Constantly, Jonah wants what? What is Jonah's main prayer? What is his main desire? Not really a prayer, but what is his main desire through the whole experience? He wants to what? He wants to die. He has a death wish. I mean, you talk, how low can you go when you're backslid? You know, if you have any kind of death wish, if you kind of any suicide thoughts, talk to me, please. Do not entertain that stuff. Because you're way, way, way low at that point. When does Jonah finally get broken? In the acidic acid, the hydrochloric acid of the belly of a whale. It's the only time he finally gets broken. When will you get broken? Let's see. The Ninevites get converted by the preaching of how many words?
14.
Eight words in English. 5 words in Hebrew. Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be destroyed. That's all he had to preach. Can you imagine? Let's see. Why did the Ninevites respond so well? Because they feared God. They believed God. And they acted. They trusted in God's mercy. You'll see all those 4 things. You need to be able to describe that. Again, God changed his mind. I'll ask you, what's the big deal about the gourd? Why does God use a gourd? What do you think? Why did God use a squash? A cucumber. Why did he use that?
Something so little.
And pathetic. And yet Jonah was so delighted about it happening. And then when it died, he was so angry it was destroyed. And God said, you're so upset over me sending a worm and eating the gourd. And yet you're not worried about me judging and damning 600,000 people. He uses an illustration. All right.
That's what happens today, though, isn't it? We're more concerned about animals than humans.
Yes. There's a forest about to be cut down up in northwest United States, and they shut it down because there was a snail there. First, back in the 1980s, there were a couple of owls that were going extinct, so they couldn't cut down the forest over there because there were like 3 owls left.
I'm sure there's more than one snail there.
So now there is, about 10 years ago, 5 or 7 years ago, there was another forest they were going through and they found this snail that was dying out. And said, oh, we can't kill these poor snails. Anyway.
Couldn't not move them. 3 houses.
And they bring the salt.
3 houses. Send in the French.
I love it.
Escargot.
Delicacy. All right. Micah, I got you some key verses there that are just not, I'll probably get you to fill in. Do not my words do good to him that what? That what?
Walketh uprightly.
That walketh uprightly. You want to enjoy the Bible? Live it. You want to hate the Bible? Then work against it. It will be like salt in a wound. It will be like sandpaper. But when you go with it, you walk with it, you're led by it, it will be the best thing you ever read. They shall beat their wives into plowshares. Right, Eric?
Yes, amen. No. Beat their wives with the plowshares.
Oh, okay, all right. No, they shall beat their what into plowshares?
Their sword.
All right, these things you'll be able to remember. Micah 5:2, out of these shall he come forth unto me that it shall be ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. All right, so remember those reviews there. All right. Micah is got just a few things there. I've got it's a lot of details. When Micah talks about a mountain, he's talking about what? When he talks about the mountain of the Lord, what is he talking about? On page 44, the New Jerusalem. When he talks about a coming ruler, he's actually referring to 2 different rulers, isn't he? First ruler is the Assyrian. I'm sorry, is the Messiah. He's called a judge. He judges the Assyrian. You see that list? That first ruler will be smitten. He'll be hit. He'll be born in Bethlehem. He'll live forever. He'll rule. He'll come at a right time. He will stand in the strength of Jehovah. He'll rule the whole world, and he'll defeat the Assyrian. The second ruler is called the Assyrian. So the first one's the Messiah, the Christ. The second ruler is the Antichrist. Nahum. Now, Nahum is written to what people group? Ninevites. Just like Jonah was sent to Nineveh, now Nahum is written not to the Ninevites, but about the Ninevites, about to be revenged. What town did Nahum probably come from?
Capernaum.
The village of Nahum. All right, so Nahum's got some things there. What was the belief of Nineveh? That it was unconquerable or inconquerable. One of the neat things that will show up in the book of Nahum is that this kind of description of future warriors, that they will, that their chariots will run like lightnings. And the chariots will burn, which implies, kind of seems like cars. Then I'll ask you, what year did the Babylonian and the Medians join together and attack that fortress city of Nineveh? 612. In 612, and it all came true, just like Nahum said. Habakkuk. Habakkuk means embrace, which is kind of funny, because it's kind of a very, very harsh book, and yet in the end it's very big. Habakkuk was a man of intercessory prayer. Remember that. I like how Habakkuk is told to write a vision, make it plain, enduring, accessible, and practical. Plain, enduring, accessible, and practical. And that's how you should write. That's how you should preach. And look at E. The Lord's revelation is the just shall live by his faith. If you got faith, you ought to live it. And then in the end, how does Habakkuk look at life at the end of his book?
Rejoice.
He says, rejoice. I'm going to rejoice anyway. Zephaniah. Zephaniah seems to be referring several times to a consuming fire. He talks about the components of the day of the Lord, the different ingredients of it, the presence. You know, if these minor prophets are true, deism is a lie. How can that be said? Deism says that God doesn't involve himself with the affairs of man. And yet if Habakkuk is written, if Zephaniah is writing, saying the Lord does involve and does judge, throws out deism. So you got a Bible that is pretty particular. That's why people don't like it, because it upsets their theology. There's a pattern. Now, I don't actually ask for this thing, but in all of the books so far, have you not seen a pattern in all of these prophecies? Well, okay, yeah, similar. Okay, there are similar topics. But what else?
We warned them that they're doing wrong.
Good, good. There is usually a warning. What else?
And they're warned, and then they're told, this is what's going to happen if you don't repent.
Okay, call to repentance. Anything else?
Restoration.
Promise of restoration. That's usually what's going on in every one of these books, okay? They all seem to be using the same things and talking about the same things. All right. We've got Haggai. And he's very practical. when you're reading Haggai, it's similar going on at the same time as Zechariah. Let's see things that might be important here. What was important for Israel to build first, and yet they had not? The temple. After you build the temple, what's the next thing you build?
The house.
No.
The walls.
The walls.
If you get your walk right with God, then put your boundaries up and then work in your own house.
Then your own life and your own plans. That's right. God has no problem with you having a direction in your life. But Nathan, before you ever think about getting married, having family, something like that, you must have a walk with God, and you must have standards. You must have things that protect you from and things that you won't do. Those are walls. So so that's a great thing that you learn from Haggai. Also, when you talk about, there's a lot of things about the Messiah and the Antichrist throughout all of these things. Remember that list, Zechariah. Zechariah is a great book that matches the book of Revelation, but it is much harder to discern. Zechariah talks about somebody called the branch. Who is the branch? That is the Messiah. He's referred to as a branch. I wonder all kinds of reasons why. He's the branch of David. I might ask you, what is your opinion? You can just say what your opinion is, who the women are inside that container. And who are those angels that have wings? Just for fun, you might try to impress me. Whatever you write, if it has any semblance of intelligence, I might give you extra credit. Okay. Let's see. And then we've got Malachi. Oh, I might ask you, who is the Antichrist called in the book of Zechariah? Not in the book of Zechariah. The idol shepherd.
The what shepherd?
The I-D-O-L shepherd. Mm-hmm. Okay, Malachi, who is the messenger? Who is the messenger that Malachi, the messenger, is talking about? It's kind of cute. Malachi is writing about a messenger, and his name is Messenger, but it's not him. John the Baptist. I want you to be able to describe what were the problems in the priesthood. What were the problems in the priesthood?
They're offering
bad sacrifices. What were the problems in the marriages? I'll ask you. I don't know. I don't think I need to ask about the tithe. I'll ask you who is promised to come again just before the day, great and terrible day of the Lord. Elijah. Exactly. All right. Any questions?
Is Elijah Moses?
Moses also, but according to Malachi, Malachi just mentions Elijah.
The law and the prophets.
Yeah. Okay.